Good to see you, saints. Amen. The brothers would like me to share something about the recent burden that some of us have among the churches, and that is the matter of opening up the homes. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about what this burden is and how you could implement this burden. I'm so glad to see so many saints here, and I'm so happy to hear all the prophesying this morning. But you have to realize that in the Lord's recovery, not only is there the wonderful truth, but there is the wonderful practice. And the wonderful truth is what we call the high peak truth, and the wonderful truth, the wonderful practice, is the God-ordained way. So we're not in Christianity. The Lord deliver us out of that. But are we fully according to the way that God ordains for us to practice the church life? Well, we have a question mark. And let me begin by telling you a little story. A number of years ago, I took some brothers to the city of Rome. And there is this church called St. Clement's Church. And it's a big, huge cathedral. And it was supposed to be the site where the first bishop of the church in Rome had his residence. So you go into this big, huge cathedral, and you dig down. Well, somebody dug down. And underneath there, you have another smaller church building that was built 1,000 years ago. Well, actually, 1,600 years ago. Right at the time of the Constantine. And then you go down some stairs, you have a third level, and that third level is where the original church met. And it's in a very small area, like the size of this first row, maybe even smaller. And that's where the church first met. And so you got this picture of the big, huge cathedral, and then you have a smaller church building, and then finally, when you get down to the root, the foundation, the bottom of it, it's a little room of a house. Now, that picture sort of illustrates what the church has evolved in the last 2,000 years. And it became bigger and became bigger for the first 300 years of the church life. There never was any building. The church was always carry on in the homes. I don't need to read the verses with you. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they broke bread from house to house. And a few months ago, I took some brothers to Jerusalem, and you look there realizing that for the first 300 years, you know what is 300 years? That's longer than the history of America. You know, that's for how long it is, just to give you an idea. For that long a period, there was no church building. Everybody meets in the homes. And so when now we're talking about taking the God-ordained way and going back to the home, well, we're going back to the foundation. It's like you're throwing away all those tradition, history, everything that was built, the superstructure that was built, and dig back into what the church life should be. And where the church life should be is in the home. Now, Brother Lee, in the God-ordained way, he sort of summarized it in three sentences. And I'll give you these three sentences of what is to practice the church life according to God, according to what the Bible reveals. Number one, to work the truth into the saints. Work the truth into the saints. Not just have one man up there speaking and giving a good message, but working the truth into every saint. That's number one. And that's what we're doing, striving to do. You know, Holy Word and Vital Group and everything. Number two, to work the church life into the homes. Work the church life into the homes so that more and more the function of what the church life is, you know, all these things that you think should be what a church life should have, would all be carried out in the homes, would all be taken care of in the platform of the homes. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is to work the gospel into our living. The gospel is not an event. The gospel is not a message. The gospel is our living. We've got to work the gospel into our living. If we do these three things, then we will be practicing the God-ordained way. It is really the essence and the spirit of the God-ordained way. Now, in order to do that, we need to move away from the meeting mentality to the person mentality. And so, like people, they have this crosshair, you know, to aim at the focus. You've got to move from meeting to people. It's not meeting center. Of course, Christianity is all meeting center. Everything is meeting. And then outside the meeting, then you have your life, I have my life, and we're all separate. Now, what is the church life? What is the church in its original way? It's people, right? It's not so much the meeting. When the meeting gets bigger and bigger and bigger, then you have performance, then you have all the superstructure, you have all those kind of things. You know, this morning I come here, I got to dress up, I got to have a mic on, and you got to have the PA system, you have to have all of that. If I'm in your home, I don't need to do that. You know, last week, the West and Gabriel Valley, seven churches, they came together on Saturday for a picnic, inviting all the new ones, and then on Lord's Day, they met in about 50 homes. And it was free. I went to four of them, and some of them, they were only about a dozen people. But there is mutuality. The mutuality is there. And that's what the church life is. The church life is mutuality. The church life is not how strong the speaking is, how wonderful the building is, how wonderful the music is. You know what that is? That is the direction of the mega church. And in the last 30 years, that has proven to be a bankrupt enterprise. And now, according to some statistics, people are taking an exodus, mass exodus from the mega churches in the order of, some said 8 million, some said 12 million people. And where are they? They're in the homes, they're on the internet, they're all over. They're not in the building anymore. They did the mass exodus away from that. But still, you know, the majority of Christians, they're still, that's their concept. They think that that's the church. They think that if they don't have that, then there's no church. Well, back to what I said. When suppose you sit on a time capsule and you travel 2,000 years and you go back to the first century, and then you say, where's the church? You go to Jerusalem. Where is the church? Where is the church? Well, the church is in all the homes. 3,000 people, 5,000 people got saved. They all met in the homes. It says specifically that they broke bread from home to home. They broke bread. They were very faithful to the apostles' teaching. They were very faithful to the apostles' fellowship. That's universal. But they pray in the home, and they broke bread in the home. That's in verse 46. Okay, so I got enough Bible support, ministry support, and history support to tell you that the church life really should be carried out in the homes. Now, I have a whole lot to share with you about that, but I hope that you will at least be convinced that what we're talking about today of working the church life into the homes is not something novel. It's not something strange. Let me tell you this. A few months ago, I took a whole group of pastors, Christian leaders, some of them quite prominent, to a trip to the Far East. And while I was in Hong Kong, 10 brothers from one church in China came, and they wanted to fellowship. And I said, okay, I take the opportunity, and I introduced them to these pastors. I said, gentlemen, I have 10 brothers here. They came from a church with 4,000 people, but no meeting hall. And they were very interested. How could that be? 4,000 people, you know, let's say we have 400 people here. We don't, but let's say we have 400 people here. 10 times of what we have here this morning. And no meeting hall. You say, how can that be? How can that be? Well, I'll tell you how that happened. It met in 170 homes. 170 homes that were opened up, and the church life was carried on in this way. And you know what? It grew. It grew. It grew tremendously. At that same church, now that has 4,000 people now, 10 years ago, well, less than 10 years ago, 2003, it had only 300 people. 2003, it only had 300 people. Now it has 4,000 people. It grew 10 times in less than 10 years. Well, how did it grow? Well, it opened up the home, and as more people, the neighbors, the friends, they got saved. They became believers. They made friends. They mingled into their living, and then they grew. And then these ones that became believers, they said, oh, I want to open up my home too. I want to be like just like you. And they open up their home. And when they do that, then sooner or later, they get somebody saved. And that those somebody would be doing this. Well, you know how a cell grows. You know how a cell multiplies. You know, I think it was during Memorial Day, I share on the matter of the church being the organic body of Christ, right? The church is an organism. That's a wonderful statement. But listen, when you just say the church is an organism, that is only a statement. You know where it is being carried out? It's carried out in the homes. And I would say that the home is the microorganism. If the church is the organism, then the homes would be the microorganism. And my wife is here. She knows that the modern medical science, they don't study organs anymore. They study the molecules. Because it's in the, when you get the molecules healthy, the whole body is healthy. When you study the molecule and how they absorb the nutrition and how they multiply and how they take care of, interact and fight the germs and how they you know, do all kinds of function. You know, they have this thing called the stem cell now. The stem cell is sort of like the mother cell that can produce any kind of cells. So I was sitting in the plane, and this man, he was doing the stem cell research for replacing eye retina cells. He said in 5 years it will become commercial. Well, that's wonderful. So what is the home? The home is like a stem cell. It's the microorganism. And so today, when people, they study how to how to pursue health, well, it's you go down to the microorganic level. And the microorganic level is the cell. Well, the church, it's big. When it's big, it's wonderful. You know, like this morning, seeing so many people, it's wonderful. But actually, this is not the most wonderful. You want to see really wonderful worship, singing, come to Building 8. And you have 4,000 people. That's even more wonderful. But how can you do that every week, 52 weeks out of your year? Impossible. That's only once a while. But ordinarily, we have to do it in the homes. And so here's the thing. Suppose we have 80 homes here or 100 homes. Let's say 100 homes here. If all these 100 homes are healthy, are functioning as what the church should be, where the church life is carried on in your home, the church life, then you don't have to worry about this meeting. This meeting will be wonderful. Why? Because those 100 cells are wonderful. Okay? So today, I have three things that I told the saints. I said, move the focus from the meeting to the people. Move from big to small. It's not big that is wonderful. It's small that is wonderful. We need to pay attention to having the church life in a small way. Why? Because in the small way, there's the mutuality. In the small way, there is the ownership. In the small way, there is the organic functioning, the vitality. I can list, which I don't have the time. I have my PowerPoint with me. I list 20 points of comparing the pros and cons of having big meeting and small meeting, and which one is better. Well, there are some things that the big meeting is better. Like, for example, if you want worship, your wonderful atmosphere, big meeting is better. If you want ministry, you know, good speaking, big meeting is better. If you want training, well, big meeting is better. And testimony, big meeting is better. But the church is not all of that. The church is not measured totally by that. The church is measured what? Mainly by mutuality. All the saints functioning. That's the most important part of the recovery. The recovery is the recovery of the experience of Christ, the experience of the oneness of the body of Christ, and of all the saints functioning. So are we all functioning? That's the measurement. That's a measurement. It's not how great my speaking is this morning. It's are everybody functioning? And listen to this. Last week when I was in those meetings, by the way, before they split up into the small homes meeting, I'm talking about West and Gabriel Valley, they may have about 700 people. But last week when they split up and start meeting in 50 homes, they had 900. And so let me tell you, get a big speaker to come. Would you have 20% increase? Get a big gospel meeting and have a really good gospel speaker. Would you have 20% increase? Get a picnic and invite all your new ones. Would you have 20% increase? And here you have a Lord's Day morning just like anybody else, except that it got smaller, and that the saints are able to have the mutuality. You got 20%, at least 20% increase. But that is not all, because I'm not just for numbers. Here, I sat in a meeting with less than 12 people, and almost everybody functioned. Almost everybody functioned. You know, at least 90%. So mutuality, hands down. Ownership, hands down. Vitality, hands down. And fruit-bearing, hands down. So that should convince you. And I hope that, because I heard that over 40 families or units have expressed that they would like to open up their home as a result of the extension of the New Jersey training that was here. I hope that not just the 40 of you, but all of you would see the vision and at least say, oh, wow, there is something that we need to consider to exercise. Okay, now, let me tell you the next thing. As soon as we talk about opening up the homes, people say, oh, well, okay, I open up my home for a meeting. Listen, and look at this. Whoa, I forgot to turn off. Sorry. There you go. As soon as we talk about opening up the homes, people think about Friday night meeting. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Just like Brother So-and-so, he opened up his home on Friday night, and he has 30 people meeting there. Listen to this. Look at this. Open home, equal meeting, cross. Okay? Open home, not equal meeting. Not equal, not equal. Completely not equal. Erase that. Completely. When we talk about opening up the home, we're not talking, not talking about meeting. Well, then you say, well, then what are you talking about? Okay. Recently, I've been trying to encapsulate it by four words. And in the writings of John, he mentions that your joy may be full 4 times. That your joy may be full. In John chapter 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17, and the first John chapter 1. And based on those 4 verses, I had 4 words. Number 1, prayer. Number 2, care. Number 3, share. Number 4, bear. Easy to remember. Okay? What are those 4 words? Repeat after me. Number 1?
Prayer.
Again, what is number 1?
Prayer.
Number 2?
Care.
Care. Number 3?
Share.
Number 4?
Bear.
Bear does not mean to bear burden. Bear means bearing fruit. Okay? Okay. Prayer, care, share, bear. So use those 4 words to replace the word meeting. So you knock out the word meeting and you replace it by praying together in the homes, caring for one another in the homes, sharing the Lord's word and sharing the Lord's riches with one another in the homes, and bearing fruit in the homes. If you ask me, that's the essence of the church life. That's what the church life is. If you can pray together, if you can care for one another, if you can share the Lord's word with one another, and if you preach the gospel and bear fruit, well, you have the church life. I don't care if you have a meeting or you don't have a meeting. I don't care if you have a speaker or you don't have a speaker. I don't care if you have an organ or a piano or nothing. As long as you have prayer, care, share, and bear, you got the church life. You got the church life. All right? Now, if you say, who can open up the homes? Not me. I've never been to the full-time training. I can't open up the home. Oh, I can't open up the homes. I'm not a good speaker. I can't speak like all those blending brothers. I can't even speak like those 4 brothers that just came up. No way. But can you pray? Amen?
Amen.
Can you care for people?
Amen.
Can you share?
Amen.
I don't mean give a message. I mean just sit down and maybe I'm my slippers, maybe I'm in my sportswear.
Casual.
I can share. Can I share? Can I not share? Can you not share? Then don't we have neighbors? Don't we have friends? Can't we just bring them and bear fruit? That's all we're talking about. It's doable. It's very doable. So, prayer, care, share, and then bearing fruit. If we do that, then our joy would be full. So, we asked those saints when we were in New Jersey. I said, okay, some of you think my home is not that wonderful. My home is not that beautiful. I'm not that gifted. Blah, 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 all of those things. I said, first of all, can you open up your living room? Okay, I can open up your living room. Well, if you open up your living room, it's good enough for a meeting. Can you open up your dining room? Yes, I can open up my dining room. And if you open up your dining room, then it's more. It's not just for meeting. It's for eating. And Austin talks a lot about that, you know. Open up your home and invite people to come to eat. By the way, for those 40 families that sign up that you would open up your homes, look, there are so many young people here. Grab a few of them and invite them to come to your home and eat. Forget about having a meeting. Forget about having a meeting. I was in Champaign, Urbana, about 2 weeks ago. And I sat with some of the whole church, actually, about 30 people. I said, Billy, your home can be open, can you? He said, yeah. I said, I don't mean meeting. I mean for these students to come to your home and with their laptop and just stay there and camp out there. Can you do that? He said, oh, yeah, I can do that. So the very next week, two students called him up, and they said, we're coming. And so they brought their laptop, and they came, and they stayed there from 8 o'clock to midnight. Well, that's wonderful. You know, that may accomplish more as far as the church life is concerned than Billy giving a message to them for 2 hours. He just opened up his home and just said, make yourself free. You can break down my house if you want. But just, you do whatever you want with my house. You know what is that? That is care. That is care. Now, those 40 families, we don't ask you to have a Friday night meeting. You know, we're not asking you for that. We're just saying, open up your home and first of all, pray. And I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But pray with one another and then caring for people, taking care of them. Open up not just your living room, but open up your dining room. And in New Jersey, I said, open up even your bedroom, not your own bedroom, the spare bedroom, and have people to come and live there. Corporate living. And this matter sounds very, very alien these days. You know, corporate living, what is that? Everybody has to live in their own house and then come to the meeting. You know, meeting is when we do church. Home is when we do home. I'll tell you what. Some of you were here. When we came in the days of Eldon, everybody opened their homes for living together. 5 bedrooms, 6 bedrooms, you know, have single people living with them. Listen to this. When I got married, my wife's sitting here. When we got married, we had 10 brothers living with us. 1 bathroom. Those are the communal bathrooms with 3 or 4 toilets. But one door. And after 1 year, switch. 10 sisters. Even more challenging. You know, when you open up the home, who's the most important person? The sisters. The sisters are the hero because it's their home. You know, when you're the brothers, they don't do anything. Who calls up those new ones? The sisters. Who prepares the food? The sisters. Who clean up? The sisters. Who actually care for them, the sisters. You know what the brothers like to do? They just like to sit there and have a big number and then they will talk. But listen, brothers, your qualification of opening up the home is actually that you don't talk. The more you talk, the more you scare people away. I'm serious. I'm very serious. Just open up your home and go into the your own bedroom and pray. Kneel down on the floor and pray. And if you do that, then the Lord will do his work. The home is not the place for you to give a training. The home is not the place for you to give a message. You can do that in building 8. No, I'm serious. The home is a place for you to pray, care, share, and bear. That's what you do. So we need to recover that. It's good that we have some recovery in open living room, you know, Friday night meeting, Saturday night meeting, yeah, a limited number. And then you said, oh, well, if I want to open up my home Friday night, who's going to come? If it's only 2 people coming, oh, that's not worthwhile opening up my home. That home, he has 30 people. You're trying to get a meeting going. You're not trying to open up your home. You're just trying to have a... You know what? when you try to have a Friday night meeting with 30 people, you're actually trying to run a church there. But, you know, you say, oh, no, that's not a church. That's just a Friday night meeting. The church is there. You know. But actually, you're just trying to run a church in your place. Forget about the meeting. You know, we're not trying to get a Friday night. We're trying to have the homes where the church life is. The church life. The church life should be there, okay? So, open up the living room, open up the dining room. That's wonderful. But I really, listen to this, I really want to see the Lord recovering the homes so that there would be the corporate living. Hey, young people, when you get married, don't just say, oh, I'm going to build a little nest, and then I'm going to stay there, and then, ooh, do-do-do-do-do-do. You know. Open that place, you'll get 10 times more blessing. I think it was here last time that I shared about 10 blessings of an open home. And then later, I went to another place, I added 8. And then I went to another place, now I have 20. 20 blessings. 20 blessings for an open home. And so I would charge all of you, young people, those that are not married, those that are getting married, those that are getting ready to be married, those that are just married. I tell you what. Recover back to the original, which was what we were in Elden days. Every home is an open home. Every home practices the corporate living. It's good for your kids. It's good for your spousal relationship. It's good for everything, I'm telling you. And of course, not to mention that the fact that you have fruit bearing. You have fruit bearing in this kind of situation. Some of you here, sitting here, are Korean. You know, the work in Korea started with his brother. He go to a place, he went to Korea. He was Korean, but he couldn't even speak Korean because he was away for so many years, decades. And so what could he do? We couldn't even speak proper Korean. So he opened up his home and have students and young people in the service, military, to come and stay. You know, room and board. He just provide room and board. And then Lee Hee-duck got saved. Lee Hee-duck was in the military. He got saved. Now he's one of the leading ones in the churches there. Now that, what is that, 30 years, 40 years ago? You know, what you can gain by having your home open to just embrace people to live in with you. It's unbelievable. So I really hope to see, I really, really hope to see that the Lord would just change this tide. You know, turn this whole big ocean liner the other way. You know, it was steaming, heading this way. And so everybody now, they just built, they got married, they built their own nest. You know, you try to build your own nest, you only get that much blessing. You try to build the Lord's house. You know what is an open house with corporate living? El Bethel! El Bethel! You know, Jacob, he was trying to build his little nest. Not little, he got quite a big family. But he was trying to build it in Shechem. And he was ready to retire with that. And then the Lord came and just sent a storm. Boom, the whole thing just got big, big turmoil. And then he couldn't even stay there. He had to pack up and he had to go back where? Go back to Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. And when you open up your house, then your house becomes God's house.
Amen.
You open up your house, your house becomes God's house.
Amen.
God's house becomes your house.
Amen.
How would you like your house to become God's house?
Amen.
Huh? You said my house needs to have those roof solar roof because then I can save some energy. Or my house needs a jacuzzi. Or my house needs a tennis court. Your house needs God. That's what your house needs. Okay? When you have God in your house, then it's El Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. Mi casa, su casa. My house becomes his house. Okay? All right. Now, for the remaining time, I'll just say this. Because I want to give some of you, say, that have a little bit of moving in your heart or have already signed up, that says that you want to open up your home. I want to give you a way. How do you open up your home? All right? How do you open your home? Four things. Number one, gospel-oriented prayer. Number two, gospel-oriented coordination. Number three, gospel-oriented contact. Number four, gospel-oriented activity. Those four things. Actually, these are the four things that I am helping some of the Chinese brothers to open up their homes, not just for Chinese-speaking people, but for all kinds of people, all nationality, all ethnos, all groups. And that's actually one good thing about the homes. You can open up your home for your own language group because they feel comfortable, or for other language groups. You know, you can open up your home on Friday night for a Korean meeting. Are you Korean? Oh, you're Chinese? Okay, you can open up your home on Friday, a Chinese meeting. And the Chinese will all be happy they come. And you open up your home on Saturday for all the English-speaking people. And you say, ooh, I can't even speak English that well. Well, we're not asking you to give a message in English. You see? Here's the thing. Because you have the concept. I open up my home for a home meeting, then it is an English home meeting. Oh, then I got to take care of the English home meeting. Forget about it. It's not a home meeting. It's not a meeting. It's just opening up your home. You know, recently I asked, I gave a suggestion. I said, okay, you know, they have this mid-autumn festival with the Chinese, right? And they all eat mooncake. I said, take this opportunity. And on the internet, it says that this is like the American Thanksgiving. Okay, I said, good, wonderful. On Thanksgiving, you invite people to come and eat turkey. On mid-autumn festival, you invite people to come and eat mooncake. And then add to that, barbecue. And then it says, in Taiwan, since the 80s, everybody open up during the moon, the mid-autumn festival to open up their homes for a barbecue. I said, okay, then do a block party, a block barbecue, a neighborhood a barbecue. And then you send out the invitation card to all your neighbors and say, oh, you don't have to hide the fact that you're Chinese. I'm Chinese, and according to the Chinese, we have this mid-autumn times when all families, all friends, all neighbors come together and they have a wonderful time of eating together. So please come. You know, and if you do that, then you have all these people come on Saturday. And so your home would be a, you know, in Romans chapter 16, it says the churches of the nations. The churches of the nations. Well, in some translation, I think in our translation, it also translates the churches of the Gentiles. But the word Gentiles is actually the same as nations. The churches of the nations. You know, if you open up your home that way, you will have the church of the nations in your home. Amen. A church of all nations in your home. Amen. And if we all do that, then we take care of all our neighbors, whether they be yellow, white, blue, whatever. you open up the home, you take care of them. Arabic-speaking people, Mexican people, you know, you name it. You know what is the universal language? Not Chinese, not English. Love. Love. Love is a universal language. It transcends all barriers. It doesn't matter, you know, as long as you love. As long as you love. I don't care what color of skin you are. Then you open up, you know, and then you have the real body life practice there. Okay, but in order to do that, here's these four things. Number one, gospel-oriented prayer. First of all, you got to get somebody to come and pray with you. So those people that have signed up and said you want to open up your home, how do you start? What is step number one? Step number one is to get a vital companion and start praying. The vital companion can be your wife. The vital companion can be a brother. Companion can even be a young person, or it can be a student, or it can be a full-timer. Just grab somebody and you start praying. And you pray for three things. Number one, you pray for the way. Number two, you pray for the people. And number three, you pray for the specific things about those people. Way. You know, people say, well, how do I open up my home? How do I start? Thursday, Friday, I'll go to the campus. Well, I'll tell you what. I am the way. Who's I? Jesus. You look to me to give you the way? I don't have a way. You look to the books to give you a way? It doesn't fit your situation. You're in Diamond Bar. Brother Lee was talking about Taipei. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the Lord is the way. As long as you pray, there will be a way in Diamond Bar, in your neighborhood, in your particular neighborhood. You say, oh, my neighborhood is Jewish. Doesn't matter. Oh, you say, my neighborhood is Mormon. Doesn't matter. You know, there is always a way. But that way, it comes through prayer. So pray for the way. Pray for the people. You have to pray that's why you got to get a list of names. And then when you pray for the people, don't pray in a general way. Oh, Lord Jesus, save him. You know, yeah, pray that you would see him this week, you know? Very specific. Pray for things. You know. Then your prayer will be either answer or not answer. You say, pray, oh Lord, bless your recovery. It can neither be answer nor not answer. Because when it's blessed, you don't know it. But you say, pray, Lord, let me talk to this person this week. It's either answer or not answer. And that's what prayer should be. It's not just fellowship, it's intercession. Okay. All right, so number one, gospel-oriented prayer. Why do I have to add the word gospel-oriented? Because, in the Lord's recovery, after a while, we say, oh, I know what is to pray. It is to get my vital companion, and we pray for the Lord's recovery, and we pray for Ron Kangas, and we pray for Brother Lee's books getting out, and we pray for everything. But I'm saying, pray for the gospel. Pray for the gospel. And that's a real challenge to pray. So that's why I say gospel-oriented prayer. You know what? I've been sharing this, and some saints, they've been picking this up and they practice it. And they say, okay, now we're going to split up into the homes and small districts. You know, just by picking this up will not work, because if your small district or if your home is not burdened for people, you're just trying to build up another shop. Oh, before it was the big shop. Now I want to have a small shop. Yes, you have ownership, but you don't have the fruit bearing. All right, so that's why I said when you open up your home, the first qualification is not beautiful home, is not gifted, is not any of those, is to be burdened for the new ones. So gospel-oriented prayer. Number two, gospel-oriented coordination. In other words, you say, okay, I want to open up my home. It's not for the sake that you can have a ministry in your home. You know, some saints, they said, oh, I sit in this big meeting, all these young people that know nothing, they've been sharing, these full-timers. Oh, I get tired of it. I wish that I can have a meeting in my home, then I can exercise my ministry. I can exercise my function. Well, you know, those are actually the dangerous homes. Right? They're already trying to start their own thing, but, you know, they just take that as an excuse. Okay, well, I'm going to talk about that. I said, you open up your home, not for the sake of having your own ministry, not for the sake of having your own quote-unquote meeting, but just so that you can be an outlet for the gospel, an outlet, a channel, a platform. Okay, so in order to do that, then you need to have a gospel coordination. You need to talk to the leading brothers in your church and say, hey, I want to open up my home. And you talk to, and also you need to find some people to coordinate with. If you want to gain English-speaking ones, and you're not good at English-speaking, get an English-speaking person to coordinate with you, see? You don't have to be the player of everything. You just, all you need to do is cook. Leave the rest to somebody else. Then you say, okay, I want to gain young people. Then get the young people to pray with, right? You just get the young people and say, hey, please, can you pray with me? I'll feed you ice cream. Can you pray with me? You know what? When the young people come, it's not through you. It's through him. It's through him. When they come in groups, and it's through him. If you want to gain new ones, so get a new one. Say, please, come to my home. You know, just come to my home. I need you, because without you, I can't do anything. That's coordination. You coordinate with the leading brothers for the gospel. You coordinate with the young people for the gospel. You coordinate with the full-timers for the gospel. You coordinate with the students for the gospel. You just coordinate with other people, realizing that you're nothing. Your function is very limited, but you can pray and you can coordinate. Then number three, you can have a list of contact. Gospel context. And for us who have been in the church life for a long time, the longer that we're in the church life, the less contact we have. We get this attrition, or this, what's the technical term? Draining out, you know. You drain out the number of people of contacts that you have. Well, now you've got to start building up. Building up. You know, when Jesus came, he got a lot of contacts. He got a lot of, you know, he went to Cana to attend the wedding feast. You know, what's that? That's all gospel context. He went to the house of Simon the leper. What's that? He made friends. He got all kinds of contact. Well, you know, at that time there was no email, there was no address book. If there were, maybe the disciples and everybody would write down, what's your name? What's your email address? How do I contact you? You know, then they have a whole pool of contacts. So we need to build up the gospel context. Then finally, we need week by week to have gospel activity. Go with the full-timers to the campus. Go with the young people to their picnic. Go, and every week, you twos and threes and fours and five, go and knock on the doors in your neighborhood, and invite them. And this kind of gospel activity should be week after week. It shouldn't be just once a year. It should be week after week after week. Listen. If you do these four things, you have gospel-oriented prayer, you have gospel-oriented coordination, fellowship, you have gospel-oriented contact, and then you have gospel-oriented activity, and I guarantee your home will be a vitalized home. Amen. And it will have the blessing. Okay?
Amen.
All right, I'll just stop here. I hope the Lord will bless you. I hope the Lord will just, if you have... Okay, if you don't have 50 homes, if you have 25 homes open here in Diamond Bar, that would be wonderful. And then you gain the Caucasian, you gain the Chinese, you gain the Japanese, you gain the Mexican, you gain the Indians, the Koreans. That would be the church of the nations. Okay, amen. The Lord bless you.